Now, Christmas and Thanksgiving are fast upon us. And here we are in our study of the Gospel of Luke in the middle of Easter, or at least getting close to Easter. It's kind of amazing how God's thrusting all of this upon us at once. And I'm not sure exactly why, but let's rejoice in it and learn what we can from the ancient words which have been read to us this morning. Now, to properly appreciate the passage that Paul read to you, you need actually to go back in the chapter, Luke chapter 19, you go back a chapter to Luke 19 and to verse 47b, because that sets the scene for the passage which was read to you this morning. Jesus was in the temple. He had just challenged the corrupt system there for buying sacrificial animals that had been set up by the priest. He had caused an embarrassing ruckus in the temple. And Luke 19:47b says, the leading men among the people were trying to destroy Jesus. That means that the chief priest, the scribes, the elders of the nation of Israel were right there in the church, in the temple itself. They were in God's holy temple, and their eyes were glassed over with hatred. Their mouths were hungry for blood. They were ready to blow Jesus' brains out because he had made them angry by challenging their authority and their crooked ways. They seethed with hatred and were actively looking for a way to kill Jesus. If they could have done it, they would have taken him out right there, right then. They were so overcome with anger that all they wanted was Jesus dead. And it was all made worse because their desire to see Jesus dead was frustrated by the people standing around them. They knew that the people of Israel loved Jesus. They had just witnessed his triumphal entry into the city and heard the people yelling, Hosanna to the King of Kings. So until they changed the mindset of the crowd, they could not act on their desire, and that just made them even angrier. That day, the priest of God seethed with rage against Jesus. Now, before I move on, I need to just breathe a bit. And I need to say to you that whenever you become consumed by anger, so consumed by anger that the only thing you want to see is the one at whom you are angry, dead, you are not acting within the will of God our Father. I can say it without any reservation. If you discover yourself to be so angry at someone that what you really want is to see that person dead, you're not with God. You understand me? Jesus makes it really clear, okay, that dead doesn't mean dead. If indeed you're angry at him in your heart, you've committed murder already, he says. Okay, if you're there, if you're seething with rage at somebody else, you are not acting within the will of the Father. Now I'm going to take it one step further. You ready? Even if you think that you are righteously indignant at the actions of someone else, remember that that is exactly what those priests thought about Jesus the day we just read about, the day they encountered him in the temple. And be very careful under such circumstances, because you are not acting within the will of God when you become consumed with anger. You hear me? Before You act out of anger. Go off by yourself for a while and sit down and beg the Holy Spirit of God to deal with you first. If you don't, your anger will lead you into sin. The scripture says it. That day, their anger led them. And it eventually brought them to the place where they were willing to crucify Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to feel absolutely justified when they did it. Learn the lesson. Do not allow yourself to become consumed with anger. But on that day, since they could not physically attack Jesus, even though they wanted to, they attacked him verbally. They couldn't take him out physically, so they tried to blunt with their tongues. You never did that, right? You never did that. The scripture says that they confronted Jesus. "Tell us," they said. And I want you to know their tone was not gentle. It was not a, "Would you mind? Could we please?" It was a demand. You could hear the anger shaking their voices. "Tell us," they said, "by what authority are you doing these things?" See, they were the authority in the temple. And they had not given Jesus permission to do anything. In their minds, he had no right to speak as he did, or to cast out sin, or to heal people from disease, or to overthrow the people who sold sacrificial animals in the temple, because they had never given him such authority. What they wanted to know, what they demanded to know, was just who in the, you put the word in, he thought he was acting the way he did without their authority. So Jesus looked at him. I have a sneaking suspicion he smiled a little. I just have to tell you, when somebody's really raging at you, smiling makes them even angrier. Okay? What I can tell you for absolute certain is that he was not the little, even a slightly little bit intimidated by their anger. He calmly said back to them, "Let me ask you a question first. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from men?" Now, I want to know, I want you to know, it has nothing to do with anything. They're demanding to know a major question about authority and who gave him the right to act. And he just says, "Well, you know what about this other thing?" Okay? He was, of course, speaking to them about the baptism done by his cousin, John the Baptist. And you will recall that John was a strange person dressed in funny clothes, that he came to Israel calling the people of Israel to repent in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. The men who were confronting Jesus at that moment, who were so opposed to what Jesus was doing, had also opposed John. When King Herod had beheaded John, they had kept silent and let the execution happen because it would remove John from the scene and so solve a problem for them. See, they wanted John dead then, just as they wanted Jesus dead the day about which we're talking, and the king solved the problem for him. John had been removed, and they had not had to lift a finger. Good plan. But by asking this question, Jesus put these men in a bind. See, if they stood there and they reasoned, if we say that John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus is going to say back to us, "Well then, why didn't you accept him?" But if we say that it was from hell, All these people standing around who like Jesus are going to stone us for lying because they like John too. Now, Jesus put the men on the horns of a dilemma. Whatever answer they gave him would cost him something. So in their minds, what they're really doing is reasoning. Should we tell the truth? Or should we tell a lie to avoid the consequences of telling the truth? Now, again, those who hold office in the church must always speak the truth. Church leaders cannot speak a lie because of the consequences that will come if they tell the truth. The truth is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Bible speaks truth. Even if we do not like the truth remains the truth. And the leaders of the church must speak the truth. The truth cannot, and it must not, be denied. But that day, the leaders of the church, the leaders of the temple, refused to respond to Jesus' question about John's baptism. They would not answer him one way or the other because they valued prestige, power, and authority above truth. And when they would not respond to him, he would not respond to them about on whose authority he acted. So nothing was resolved. Jesus continued to teach truth. Jesus continued to be truth. The leaders of the church continued to rage because they refused to acknowledge the truth. They would not, they could not speak the truth for fear of the consequences of walking in the truth. They raged against Jesus Christ. They raged against truth until they crucified it. But folks, Jesus remains the way, the life, and the truth. For truth cannot and must not be denied. Even if you don't like it or believe it, the truth is still the truth. Now, we live in a confusing time. All the world wants to be saved, but many today do not want Jesus. So some in the church, some of the leaders of the church have begun in this age to deny the truth. They say that you can toss out much of the moral writings of the Apostle Paul because if Paul had only been smarter and knew what we know today, he would never have written what he wrote. They say that you can toss out the virgin birth of Jesus Christ because it is an unessential doctrine, not necessary to our faith. They say that you can understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ as symbolic rather than physical, if you choose. They say that God is all love, and therefore he judges no one, but rather approves of everything and everybody, so there is really no need for a Savior anyway. Everyone will be saved. They say that there are many roads to the Father, And Jesus may be one of them, but he's only one. So you pick the one you like. You put it together the way you like. You work out your own salvation. You get to God however you choose. But none of that is true. And by telling such lies as those who say them are like the leaders of the temple in Jesus' day, seeking again to crucify the truth. But it cannot be crucified. For the truth is the truth. It cannot and it must not be denied. Now, last week, I was so touched when we went to Rob's service of installation at Muncie. Because when Rob responded to the service, he stood up before the congregation and he said to them that he would never lie to them. He said that he would always tell them the truth, what the Word of God said. That they could count on him to stand on the word and to tell them the truth. I can't tell you how I love them for saying that. I'm going to go up and hug them, or at least stand up and applaud. Okay? Because that's where a man of God should stand, on the truth. And so today I make the same pledge to you as he made to them. I will always tell you what the Bible says. For the Bible is truth. It speaks the truth. And even if we don't like what it says, the truth remains the truth. It cannot and it must not be denied. And I'll tell you what, you can nail it to the cross. You can lay it in a tomb and seal the tomb shut with a rock. You can kill the truth, but it will rise again. It will rise again, for the truth cannot and it must not be denied.